The following podcast is brought to you by the Station of the Cross. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Calling All Catholics, a program where you can ask a priest your questions on the Catholic faith or make a prayer request. We invite your call at 1-877-511-5483. You can also email us at cac@thestationofthecross.com or post to our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio.
Good afternoon. Rick Paolini with Father Mike Mayer. He is the parochial vicar at Queen of Peace Parish in Geneva, New York. Good afternoon, Father.
Good afternoon.
Happy to have you with us today. Let me give the number so that people, before we open the program with a prayer, the number to call for your question or comment or prayer request to Father Mayer is 1-877-511-5483. Again, that's 1-877-511-5483. You can also email us at cac@thestationofthecross.com or on Facebook at The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Father, would you please begin the program with a prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that putting off our old self with all its ways, we may live as Christ did, for through the healing paschal remedies, you have conformed us to his nature, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Father, we had a couple of questions brought in before we went on the air, and one is a prayer request. And Noreen requests prayer for a friend who was lost deep in depression and tried to end her life. So could we please pray for Noreen's friend?
And I'll include all those struggling with deep depression. I heard of someone just the other day, very same situation. And I know the blackness. I work with a woman who's very severely depressed, and what a cross they have to bear. So let's pray for Noreen's friend and for all those who suffer from deep depression. Loving God, you love us, you walk with us, you know our suffering. You lift us up when we need you. Help us to see your presence in our lives. Send your Spirit upon all those who are suffering from deep depression. Let them see your light. Let them turn away from the darkness. Let them know your joy and your peace and your hope. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Father, you said you obviously, as a priest, you work with people who have difficulties. Are there any spiritual pointers that you can give our listeners in terms of how they might be able to help themselves?
Very good. Well, a number of them. Number one, get anointed regularly. Go to your priest, ask for the anointing of the sick. I know a lot of people think, well, isn't that for somebody dying? No, no. Anytime you are in need of help in an illness, many people do it before they go in for testing, for surgery. Mental illness certainly is part of that. Get anointed regularly, because that is a sacrament. It is the presence of God through the oil, and it does have an effect. So that's one thing. Number two, prayer. And I would encourage people who are depressed to at least occasionally ask a partner to pray with them and to lay hands on them, to pray for them specifically. I know in the United States we like to think that, you know, if I only pray harder, if I only do it this way, things are going to change. But we need other people to pray with us and for us. So get a prayer partner, someone who will work with you. And also make sure that you have somebody you can speak to whenever to talk about what's going on so that they can sort of be like a sponsor. I often think of the 12-step programs, and in many ways people go through that with dealing with all sorts of crosses and monkeys on their back, and they need people to remind them of what God wants for them, how God is calling them. So we can't do it alone. We have to have other people doing it. So anointing, a prayer partner, have them lay hands on you and pray. Be sure to go to Sunday Mass That is our foundational sacrament. It really gives us the life that we need so that we can move on. Because, again, with depression, a lot of people just want to stay on their own until they get over it. But that's the worst thing that anyone could do, to get out, to force ourselves to be as active as we can be. And, again, that's where a friend can be very, very helpful, to say, come on, let's go, or let's go for some prayer in the church. Let's go see Father to have you anointed. Or here's so-and-so, can we lay our hands on you and pray? So I think those are all things that, not just people in depression, but I think we all need at various times in our lives because of the crosses that we bear, and we're part of a living, vibrant community. So to take advantage of the gifts of the community is very important.
Isn't it important also, I believe in the programs that are available, don't they offer the individuals in the program a hotline, so to speak, that when you're in crisis?
Yep.
So when you're speaking of having that person that you can go to, that would be a really good idea, to have someone to understand.
Absolutely.
And someone who's willing to take a call in the middle of the night.
Well, and there are suicide hotlines, which are specifically for people who in the middle of the night, they don't want to call a friend. Okay, well, this is what this hotline is for. And these people are trained. And that they may say, okay, I'll simply talk with you. If it's a Christian prayer line, they may say, let me pray with you. Or they may say, look, you need to go to the hospital right away. So we need to take advantage of all the resources. And of course, I didn't mention, but I'm assuming that go to your doctor. Go to your doctor. Find out what he can suggest, whether it's medication, therapy of some kind. Take advantage of all those resources because they are out there. And we can't go it alone.
Father, when you say prayer or lay hands on someone, some of our listeners may not understand what that means, to lay hands on and pray. And also, are there any specific prayers that you find are particularly effective?
Well, specifically in the charismatic renewal, we're often trained or invited, if someone has a particular prayer request, for that person to be seated, and then a prayer team, people who have a particular gift for intercessory prayer, will gather around that person and simply lay their hands on them. And, you know, it's that human connection and, of course, God working through us, through that human connection, so that we can pray for that person. Now, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, that's fine. That's fine. But a lot of people will be more than happy to do that, or have other people just put their hands on their heads or their shoulders or their arms, or maybe just touch their hand as a way of sort of increasing that recognition that we are together in this prayer. As to specific prayers, I'd say any prayer. Hail Mary, glory be to the Father, make up a prayer. Again, in the charismatic renewal, many people have the gift of a prayer tongue, and that may be the prayer that they use, praying over someone. So whatever you're inspired to do, I'd say go with it. Just remember that it's all about God, God's healing love, and that we're called to pray for one another.
Thank you, Father. The number to call if you have a question for Father, a comment, or a prayer request is 1-877-711-5483. Again, it's 1-877-511-5483. You can email Father at cac@thestationofthecross, or Facebook us at the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Father, there was another online request, and April says, where do you get holy salt from, or can you just ask a priest to bless regular salt?
You can ask a priest to bless regular salt. And if you want prayers to go along with that, now usually there's a little ritual, and you use holy salt and holy water. You mix it up, and then you sprinkle it. It's a form of exorcism. Now, before people go ballistic on this, it's not that we necessarily believe that there are evil spirits wherever, but it's a way of blessing to keep the evil one away from us. So there, if you want to look online for the blessing of salt and water or the ritual for that. So, for example, some people will take blessed water and salt, and they'll just go around the property area and just sprinkle as they go along and pray. And you can, I think you can do most any kind of prayer you want as you're doing that. So it's really a way of saying, this is the Lord's property. Satan, get out of here. Be gone. So again, the internet's a wonderful resource in terms of finding those kinds of prayers for the blessing of salt, the blessing of water.
What does the salt add to the holy water that makes it so effective?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure the answer of that. Again, I would research that, where that comes from. Now, of course, salt is mentioned in the New Testament. We're talking about if salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing. So, you know, I don't know, and a very important resource mineral because it does preserve food. So I'm assuming some of those meanings are part of it. But where historically that became a part of a ritual with water and salt for a blessing of an area, exorcism, I'm not sure.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I've wondered that myself, and I've done it, but I've not known exactly why I was doing it. And to be honest, I usually check those things out, and I didn't. So that's a little homework for all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go. Well, Father, you wanted to speak about some of the prayers in the Roman Missal that pertain to Easter during the Easter season. Would you like to get going on some of those? Because
sure.
I think the approach is excellent, and that's something that I think we need as people of God to be able to listen to the Word and not just be present when it is proclaimed. And I think that's a really good approach. Let me give the number one more time, 1-877-511-5483. We're on the line with Father Mike Mayer from Queen of Peace Parish in Geneva, New York, 1-877-511-5483 is the number. Okay, Father.
Okay, before we went on the line, you and I, Rick, were talking about Easter and like Christmas, after Christmas Day or after Easter Day, it's over with for most people. That's it. And I go to children in particular and say, Happy Easter. And they go, what? It's over. No. The whole point of Lent, which is 40 days, is to prepare us to celebrate fully and joyfully 50 days of Easter. So it's a 50-day season. It's not just one day or an octave, 8 days. It's a full 50 days. And Easter is the high holy day of our Christian faith. It is really the culmination of God's activity, God's salvific activity in our lives. And in the new Roman Missal translation, there are some beautiful, beautiful prayers. They were there to a certain extent in the old, but I think not as striking. So as I read these prayers before I celebrate the liturgy, and for every Sunday there are different prayers, at least three unique prayers, the collect, which is the opening prayer, then the prayer over the gifts, and then after the preparation of the gifts, and then the closing prayer. And they really go to the heart of our faith, as well as the prefaces. In fact, this past weekend, I literally focused on a phrase in, I think it's in Preface 1, Preface 2, and Preface 3 of Easter. They all say exactly the same thing. And as I was reading that, preparing for Mass, I thought to myself, wow, this is really a challenge. It's saying something, but in effect, do we get it? Do we really realize this? So here's the phrase. It says, therefore, overcome with paschal joy. Now, let me just interpret paschal. That may be a stumbling block for people. It simply refers to the saving, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's what that means. So when you hear paschal, we're called to think, oh, that's the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's what it's saying. It says, we are overcome with paschal joy, with Easter joy. So I started out my homily. I carried the Roman Missal down, and I said, you know, according to this book, I should see this in this congregation. So I just paused for a moment and looked up and down, and I said, I don't see it. I don't see it. Now, the question is this book wrong, Or is it that we don't get it? And, of course, the people immediately said, no, we don't get it. You're right. Because I said, I don't see anybody overcome with paschal joy. I see people maybe overcome with hunger because they're wondering where they're going to go to dinner later, or overcome with anticipation as who's going to text them next, but overcome with paschal joy. And so, and that's in the preface, and that's what this preface is saying should be the case, not something strange or unusual, but that we have been so touched and changed by the suffering, death, and resurrection and ascension into heaven of Jesus Christ, that there is this joy that overcomes us. And I said, for me, if I think of like Christmas Day, anybody overcome with joy, it'd be the kids who are running to get their presents and opening them. I mean, that's sort of being overcome with joy. And I said, what would that look like in this congregation today if we were truly overcome with joy? And then to go further, what would people think if they came into this parish, this church, and saw us overcome with joy as opposed to just kind of staring blankly at one another and listening relatively inattentively to the prayers of the Mass? So it really struck me, and I think that's one of the challenges we have, especially for cradle Catholics. I find in reverts and converts, there's a much better recognition of what this is all about. But I'm a cradle Catholic, so I grew up, this is second nature to me. I never stopped practicing my faith. And I know that, I in many ways take it for granted, as one parishioner said. We do. We take it for granted. And yet the challenge that Easter gives us, and every day of the year, is to really look at what God has done for us and let it affect us. Let it get into our bones. Let it get into our faces. Again, if someone's coming along, would they want to join our community by the way we kind of just look, stare vacantly, or have our own little private prayer time at church? Or are we so excited with the faith that we want to welcome the stranger, and as soon as Mass is ended, we want to go out there and share something about the good news with somebody else?
Father, do you think it has to do partially with the fact that in many cases we don't make our Catholic faith a way of life?
Oh, absolutely.
It's an event.
Absolutely.
It's an event. Yes. Easter is an event. Christmas is an event. Sunday Mass is an event. And we're not passionate about it.
No. Now, we are passionate on Palm Sunday. Those who don't go to Mass usually are sure to get there to make sure they get their palms. And I said that today, that when there's a freebie, people will come. But, it's not about getting palms or getting anything in particular. Although we do. We get God himself fully and completely. But I think it's because the world in general, the secular world, the relativistic world, is in many ways more exciting. As I said, I come into church and I see people on their cell phones texting. Now, most of them put them away before Mass. But I'm thinking, why do you even need to bring it in here? Well, fear of being quiet, fear of being silent. Fear of having to communicate with the Lord or not even knowing how to. I think we've lost a lot of the basic disciplines or understandings of our faith, and they are many and beautiful, but unless we practice them, it's like anything else. If we stop practicing, if we don't discipline ourselves, and I mean that in the best sense of the word, all this stuff is going to go over our heads, and we're just fulfilling a dry duty as opposed to being literally overcome with gratitude and joy and peace and hope, so that we want to rush out and share this with other people.
I totally agree. Father, many years ago I took part in a Jewish-Catholic dialogue, and I remember a question that was asked, and one of the Catholic individuals in our panel asked the Jewish group, is being Jewish a religion or a nationality? And the response was yes. And I think for those that were there, that indicated to us that that was their way of life, that their religion could not be separated from who they were. And I think that that joy would be there if we were able, that that Paschal, that Easter joy would be there if it was truly a part of our lives. Father, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get back. I want to give the number if you have a question for Father, a comment, 1-877-511-5483 is that number. It's 1-877-511-5483. If you have a question, a prayer request for Father Mike Meyer, he's from Queen of Peace Parish in Geneva, New York, and we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes.
Would you like to learn more about the Catholic faith or have your intention prayed for over the air? Each weekday afternoon from 5 to 6, our knowledgeable priest hosts are here for you on Calling All Catholics. To participate in the program live, call 1-877-511-5483. To email your questions and prayer requests, contact cac@thestationofthecross.com or post to our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio.
This is Father Marty Maleski. Please join me in a prayer honoring St. Teresa Benedicta. Lord, God of our fathers, you brought St. Teresa to the fullness of the science of the cross at the hour of her martyrdom. Fill us with that same knowledge, and through her intercession, allow us always to seek after you, the supreme truth, and to remain faithful until death to the covenant of love ratified in the blood of your Son for the salvation of all men and women. Amen.
There's a great way you can help Catholic Radio by making online purchases through Amazon. Amazon's Smile program will give 0.5% of proceeds from your order to your favorite charity. Visit thestationofthecross.com and click on the Amazon link. Select Holy Family Communications as your designated charity and shop as you normally would. You will have access to all products and services and pay the normal price. It's a quick and easy way to help the Station of the Cross. So, make your next Amazon purchase by visiting thestationofthecross.com, clicking on the Amazon link, and selecting Holy Family Communications as your designated charity. Thank you for your support of Catholic Radio.
Welcome back. Rick Paolini here with Father Michael Mayer from Queen of Peace Parish in Geneva, New York. Father, while we were off, we took a, the individual is not online, but Margaret, we have a prayer request. She would like you to pray for Shirley and Jack. She said Shirley is undergoing surgery tomorrow, and she is so worried about her husband, Jack. Jack is very ill, and he's suffering with cancer, and she'd like us to pray for the recovery, for her recovery and for Jack.
Okay, one thing, Margaret, if you're listening, I would encourage you to get Shirley and Jack anointed. If before surgery would be great, if you can do it at your parish church or if there's a Catholic priest at the hospital. And also just a piece of advice to Shirley, worry is not going to help you or Jack. So be aware to keep putting that in the hands of the Lord. And let's pray that then, to put all anxieties, all fears, because that's part of the victory of Jesus Christ, of the Paschal mystery. Part of that victory is to take fear and anxiety away from us so we don't have to hold on to it. So let's pray that. Loving God, we ask you to bless Shirley and Jack abundantly. Shower them with your Paschal blessings, that they may know your victory in their own lives, their victory over the fear of sin and death, of suffering, that they may joyfully carry whatever cross you give them and see your goodness, your light, your peace in carrying your cross as your faithful disciples. We ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Father. Did you have another another prayer from the Easter season in the Roman Missal?
Yes, and this was from today, Daily Mass. It says, "Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that putting off our old self with all its ways." Now, that should ring a bell, just that phrase, putting off our old self with all its ways. That's what Lent is about. Taking the old man, the old woman, getting rid of it, doing some house cleaning, going through the cupboards of our minds and our hearts and cleaning things out. And then it continues, so that putting off our old self with all its ways, we may live as Christ did. For through the healing paschal remedies, you have conformed us to his nature. So this very much goes along with what our Holy Father Pope Francis talks about as the church being a sort of hospital for the ill. The paschal mystery, all its blessings, is a healing remedy in our lives. You know, it's not just something nice that we look forward to in the future, whatever may happen, but here and now. And so that's why I emphasize fear and anxiety. If we're holding on to fear and anxiety, then we need to remind ourselves of the paschal mystery of what Christ did, because that's part of the healing of the paschal mysteries, to take away the excuses we come up with for holding on to fear and anxiety. I don't know what's going to happen to me tomorrow. Why worry about it? I don't know if I'm going to die from cancer or be hit by a car. I don't have to worry about that. And God says, just keep your eyes fixed on my son. Keep your eyes fixed on him. And you know, we know, he suffered. That's part of the paschal mystery, his passion, his suffering. But suffering, knowing that Christ has redeemed us from having to be fearful or worried, is a different way of suffering. And that's part of the practice of our Catholic faith, practicing carrying the cross with joy, with peace, with hope. And then it says here, you have conformed us to his nature. Okay, now we're talking here about the paschal mysteries, paschal remedies, as it says here. But if we say paschal mystery, mystery is the translation of the Greek word mysterion, which is translated into Latin as sacrament. So we're talking about the Easter sacraments. These change us. They conform us to Christ. That's another thing we have to remember. And so we have to practice living as disciples who have been conformed to the nature of Christ. And it's not just talking about his human nature. We're talking about his divine nature. When we celebrate the sacraments, God is touching us. And literally, and we seldom hear this, unfortunately, we are being made divine. We are undergoing deification or divinization. That is, we are becoming more and more like God, God's divine nature, because God wants that for us so that we can share fully in his divine glory when we die. So that's something else we have to remember here, that the sacraments are not just these empty symbolic events where we remember something that happened 2,000 years ago, but rather the reality of them, the power, is still here. It's in our midst when we celebrate the sacraments. We are being touched and changed. So we consciously have to say, Lord, help me to be open to what is going on there. Help me to be conformed to your son in his death and resurrection. Help me to die to myself. Help me to rise each day to new life, to be willing to do what Jesus did. And God gives us the help to do that. But if we don't practice it, if we don't embrace it, it's not going to have a magical effect. And I think, especially for people like myself and others who are cradle Catholics, again, we probably take so much for granted. We're so used to hearing a lot of this stuff that we don't think, well, wait a minute, what am I doing then to live a paschal spirituality? What am I doing each day? We read yesterday the beautiful gospel of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Well, and I mentioned it in my homily. I said, as they were listening to Jesus, their hearts were burning. Something was going on. And when they were in Emmaus and they had dinner and Jesus disappeared, they didn't say, oh, well, that was nice. I'm glad he visited us. Let's finish dinner. No, they had to get right up, even though it was dark outside, and it's dangerous going out in the dark in that era, and went back to Jerusalem to share that gospel message. That's part of the practice of our faith, in a sense, forcing ourselves to find ways creatively to share the gospel. And I think in doing that, we then re-embrace it. It helps to renew us, because when we give the joy of the gospel to someone else, it has a double effect. It's two-pronged. It's not just something we give away, but we get back again because we're fulfilling what Christ is calling us to do in proclaiming the gospel.
Father, we have a couple callers who do want to speak to that point. We have Margaret who's calling, and she'd like to comment on the joys of Easter. Margaret, you're on the line with Father Michael. Margaret?
Hello?
Did we lose Margaret?
This is Sherry.
Oh, Sherry. Okay.
Hi, Sherry.
You're on the line with Father.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Father. Hi, Rick.
Hello.
I had to pull over because I was so right there with you when you were talking about your looking out to your parishioners. And it's not just in your place. I see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just so, we should be so joyful right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that I come in contact with that are cradle Catholics, older people, I will say, you know, late 60s. I got to be careful because, you know, I'm not that young either.
Mm-hmm. Nor am I.
But, yep. Oh, come on. You're spring chicken. But
many springs.
But the thing is, well, it's okay. But they say things to me like, well, I don't understand that. Or, well, I don't believe that's really true in the faith. And I said, well, do you have a catechism?
Mm-hmm.
No, well, no. They don't want to bother to look and find the answers or to see where, you know, the richness of
right.
Easter has just been, yeah. I don't think, I think this has been the most, I don't know how to put it in words. This Easter was just so much for me. I mean, from Holy Week, mm-hmm. you know, Stations of the Cross every Friday, and it mm-hmm. just was the most meaningful that I have mm-hmm. had to date.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to your Easter vigil?
Yes, I did.
How many catechumens and candidates did you have?
Unfortunately, we had none.
Yeah, see, we didn't have any either. We didn't have any either, and we're relatively large. And I said that to people. I said, is that part of our problem, that who would want to join us if number one, when a stranger comes in, we cold shoulder them, and Jesus says, yes. Welcome the stranger, and to show that, and many people do. Many people automatically are very good at welcoming. But I think a lot of people, again, I think it's most of us who are a cradle Catholic, it's kind of like me and God time at Mass, and, you know, you don't talk, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, but what about that one person who comes in because maybe somebody said, hey, there's a Catholic church right there. Why don't you go in there? And they don't see anything that really is indicating to them that the Spirit is alive here. So they go elsewhere. And I've heard that literally about a Protestant minister who was close to becoming a Catholic. He goes to a Catholic church, and the people gave him a dirty look when he tried to go into their pew. Then he went to a Protestant church, and they embraced him like a long-lost son. Well, which parish would he join? Now, there are very, very welcoming parishes, Catholic parishes. There are. But I think it's something we need to work at, to take literally. And you talked about the catechism. Everybody should have a catechism of the Catholic Church. It's pretty easy reading. And if they do have questions, you know, go and talk to somebody about that, because our faith is unbelievably amazing, the claims it makes, and we need to be able to speak about it, at least in some way, or to direct someone to another person who can talk about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
wonderful. Well, anyway, I just had to, my heart was jumping out of me because when you were talking like that.
Good. That's the Holy Spirit.
50 days to celebrate. I've been blessed with the Holy Spirit coming into my life. I just really came into my faith about 6 years ago, and it was shortly after my mom passed away. It was pretty amazing, the things that have been happening to me. So,
oh, wonderful. Praise God.
You know, I am praising him. I'm just a little thing. I'm off on a pilgrimage that I never thought in my life I'd be doing. I'm going to do the Camino de Santiago.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I leave next Monday. So.
Oh, God bless you.
Prayer, if you would. Thank
and may
you.
Our Lady cover you with her mantle of peace and joy as you make that pilgrimage.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sherry, I thought that was you, and I'll tell you something. Yes. Our listeners can hear the joy in your voice, can't they, Father?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
oh,
it makes a difference. It makes a difference.
It does.
When you're, you know,
you
when you're on fire.
It.
That's right.
I know. Yeah, you can't. You just, you know, and I'm a sinner. I still have a long way to go until I meet the Lord. But, you know, every day it's just another step forward. And it's just amazing what he does for us and how forgiving he is. You know, so.
Amen.
Well, Sherry, when you get back from your pilgrimage, please call back and let our listeners know how it was.
Yeah.
I absolutely will, Rick.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Have a blessed trip. We'll be praying for you and you
God
pray
bless
for us.
You. Mm-hmm.
I certainly will.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
God bless.
You can tell that
and it
joy.
Isn't just, yes. And it isn't just in Catholic churches at the Saturday evening mass. Incidentally, it's Our Lady of Peace. I keep saying Queen of Peace.
Oh, I'm
it's Our
sorry.
Lady of Peace parish. No, I'm sorry, too. I'm,
that's
I'm
the note
it.
That I had here. It's Our Lady
it's
of Peace?
Right. It's okay. my old age, too. But Saturday at Mass, one of our wonderful parishioners who has the joy of the Holy Spirit and has a wonderful ministry to Mormon missionaries, these young guys that come in, he befriends them. He brings them to his aunt's for dinner and cars. He talks about the Catholic faith. Well, he brought the two new ones to Mass Saturday night, and they were saying to him, well, that's not just Catholic churches. That's our churches, too. You don't really see the joy. So it's not just Christianity, Mormonism, whatever. It's all our faith groups that we need to think about what's at the core of our faith, and are we rejoicing? And again, when I speak about joy, I think the tendency is, okay, Lord, make me joyful. Well, the Lord can send us all sorts of graces for this, that, and the other thing. But I've got to take those graces and I've got to practice them. It's like virtuous living.
Yes.
You don't just become generous or chaste or whatever by wishing it or praying for it. You have to pray and take the graces and work at it. And so if you want to be joyful, what are you going to do to practice being joyful? And literally it can mean being aware of other people around you, saying, wonderful, how good to see you, have a good day, practicing patience, practicing peace, all those wonderful things. So it's not that God's not giving us what we need. It's that we think it's going to be this miraculous intervention every time. And suddenly I'm going to go from this type of person to that type of person. Well, I'm 60 years old now. I've been waiting for that for 60 years. It ain't happening. And I know I've got to work at it. I've got to want it. I've got to desire it. I've got to discipline myself to do it. So when Paul says, you know, he says to the people, rejoice. Let me say it again. Rejoice. You know, he's saying you've got to do that, not just think, well, maybe someday when I feel like rejoicing, I'll do it. He also says, and I love this quote from Paul. He says, in all circumstances, give thanks, because that's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He says, in all circumstances, give thanks. You know, I think, wow, he's actually saying, you have been freed from the power of sin and evil so that you can thank God, whether you feel like it or not, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. But that's our faith. It's not this sort of magic wave or whatever that gets in us, but rather God has done the most amazing thing so that we can say, yep, today I'm going to practice joy. I'm going to go out and share joy with other people. I'm going to help other people see the goodness and the light of God. So, you know, especially I want to be with upbeat people. So if you know good, upbeat people, maybe make a pact with them and say, how are we going to practice joy today? And then at the end of the day, share it. How did it go? What happened? How did people respond to it? Because I think we're going to surprise ourselves at the power of joy, because that comes from God through the Holy Spirit.
Well, Father, we have Michael and Ralph, both on individual lines, waiting to share their stories of joy. And we'll bring Michael on right now. Michael, you are on with Father Michael.
Hey, Father, you've got a nice name there in Geneva. It's got a beautiful lake.
Yes.
I found joy 3 weeks ago in the most unexpected place. I went to a prison to visit a godchild of mine who's incarcerated. And in this particular instance, we were visiting prisoners who had been in what they call the hole. They were in solitary confinement. Mm-hmm. For 23 hours a day, but that special visiting privilege is if someone would come to visit them, you know, on the weekends. And as I looked around the room, all these prisoners were in the same boat. On every one of those prisoners' faces, Father, there was joy, real deep-seated joy. Someone would come to visit them. And as I looked at the faces of the guards in this particular jail, that joy was lacking. They were just putting their time in or being arrogant, whatever. In thinking about it later, one of the reasons those prisoners were so joyful is because just for a couple hours, they recovered what they had lost, their freedom. And there's a lesson, I believe, there for us, if you don't mind me saying so. Because of the sin of Adam, we lost our preternatural gifts. And unless we can realize with the death and resurrection of Jesus, that we have the opportunity to regain them, the greatest of which, of course, is eternal life, to walk with God, Adam did before the fall. So we need, if you don't mind me saying so, I think that we need to understand what it is we have lost before we can have the spirit way of recovering it. That's pretty much all.
That's a very good point. Because Adam was and Eve were had the ultimate of freedom. They sold it all for slavery. Slavery to evil, slavery to sin, slavery to the lowest common denominator. And Jesus came specifically, just as Moses led the people out of physical slavery, Jesus led us out of slavery to what is not of God so that we don't have to bow down to false gods, to anger, evil, retribution, vengeance, all those things. We're truly free. We're truly free so that if someone slaps us on the one cheek, we can give them the other cheek. That's real freedom. But,
you
know,
why their hearts were burning with fire, as Jesus explained, that his kingdom is not of this world. It has nothing to do with it. It is the restoration of what has been lost. Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. God bless you. Thanks for telling us that.
Thank you, Michael. And thank you for visiting those prisoners, whoever it is that is in there that you know. And you know what? That is freeing. And I've been to prison, and I'm sure you have also, Father, for visits. And there is a very special relationship there when they know that someone from the outside cares about them. And when you bring the message of Jesus Christ. We also have Ralph on the line. Ralph, you're on with Father Michael.
Thank you, Rick. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good season to you and Father Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I am a catechist. I am also a person who's been diagnosed with incurable cancer that is treatable. And I praise and thank the Lord every day for the ability to continue in my ministry. And Father Michael, when he mentioned the gospel of yesterday from St. Luke about the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that really resonated with me, because the bishops of the United States in about 1999 put out a document, and it was based on the directories of the catechesis. of adult catechesis, adult faith formation, it called for a paradigm change where all catechesis is to be centered on adults and to be moved, and all other forms are to be centered on adult faith formation, which usually takes place in small faith-sharing groups and so on. And this is a task that I think is still under construction with the bishops and the pastors. But I pray every day that that comes to be, because to me that's the key to turning things around in the Catholic culture in the here in the United States and around the world, actually, where adults will be learning catechism and Bible study in order to mature in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can't do it unless you know him. And
right.
The best way to know him is to know the truth that sets us free. So I really hope that, and we have a great bishop who is a catechist, and I'm sure that he's working in that direction to bring continual adult faith formation to its proper place.
Which diocese are you in?
Buffalo.
Okay.
Bishop Malone.
Yep. In fact, we're going to be hearing from him in, I think, end of May here in Rochester. He's coming to talk about the new evangelization. I'm looking forward to that.
That's the way that we mature in our faith, through faith sharing, constant faith sharing, having that joyfully proclaimed from by the pastors, and going through the whatever it takes to set that up.
Absolutely.
That's the key.
Well,
as far as that.
God bless you in your ministry. It's so much needed, and in your dealing with cancer, your cross. God bless you. It doesn't sound like it's gotten you down.
No, it's I've never been happier in my life because of I know the truth about Jesus.
Wow, and that's a great witness.
It's pure
wonderful.
Joy.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ralph. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
God bless you.
You have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's wonderful to hear that.
Oh, for sure. 1-877-511-5483. We have time probably for one or two more calls. 1-877-511-5483. CAC at the Station of the Cross if you have an email message. And you know, Father, have you found that many of the folks who are disenchanted with the Catholic faith or may have left the faith or may not be excited about the faith may be folks who don't know the faith very well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And as I said before, well, when I was growing up, you know, there black and white TV, stores were closed on Sunday. The culture itself tended to support more community life, family life, church life. So, and that's not the way it is, not the way it is today. And if you know, you asked a kid, where would you rather go on Sunday morning, to church or to the mall, whatever? Well, some kids would say church because they've learned the joy. In fact, one of the great blessings for me as a priest has been dealing with children. And talking with them and joking with them and letting them know how I delight in seeing them at church, you know, no matter what they do, you know, whether they come up to the altar or whatever, there's this sense of comfort and joy in them. And I learn joy from children. And I think children then also learn from parents who bring them to church that this is a wonderful group. And if you have a wonderful, welcoming community, you know, you don't have people in the row saying, why don't they take the kid out of church? They just smile, and they realize this is that child's way of being there in the presence of the Lord. And what is God thinking? Is God thinking, get that kid out of here or whatever? No. I think the Lord is so pleased with all of us that we're there and wants us to deepen our relationship with him and to teach one another about the joy of our faith, about hope, about peace. I've gotten some of the most incredible insights into the faith from children during homilies that I bring the kids up. They're very insightful. We lose that somewhere along the line. Everybody says that. You know, we become maybe a little bit hardened. We're not thinking of this, that, or the other thing, or think about how we're keeping up with our friends who have all these things. We kind of lose that. And I think because joy is so integral to our faith and all those other wonderful virtues and gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we have constant reminders that we don't have to be curmudgeons. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be anxious because God's got it all in his hands. And if we're constantly in touch with God, God's going to provide us with all the graces and the information we need so that we can move along in our lives and grow in our faith each and every day. So that eventually, in fact, this is what sort of worries me. Given, and not just Catholics, but anybody's understanding of heaven and resurrection of the body, I don't get a sense that people are really looking forward to that. And if they're not looking forward to that, I'm not sure they're going to be happy even if God offered it to them. Because there's a sense of, when I ask some people, are you ready to die? Some go, oh, yeah, I want to go. Oh, I can't wait. And you really have a sense of joy. It's powerful. It's palpable. But then there are others who go, oh, no, I'm not ready. And they tell me what they think they need to do, et cetera. I'm thinking, well, if God came to you right now and said, look, I want you to come to heaven with me, what would you say to him? I think a lot of people might say, no, really. And I wonder I think that there's fear in there. There's anxiety. There's a lack of faith in one sense. And I think people see that in communities of believers. And so they're saying, well, that community doesn't really believe. They're not willing to put their lives on the line. I want to go somewhere where the people are willing to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk and joyfully walk the walk.
That makes all the sense in the world. Father, we had a call. Someone who is not on the line wishes to remain anonymous and is asking for prayers for a bulimic condition which is getting worse. Could we please pray for that individual?
Okay. Loving God, please bless this person abundantly. Send them people to support them in their illness. Give them insights into their illness and of your walking with them so that they may grow in health and happiness each and every day. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. You know, Father, you were speaking about young people wanting to go to Mass on Sunday morning. What do you think about some of them? We only have about 2 minutes left, but what do you think about some of the athletic organizations that have practices on Sunday morning?
Well, years ago, we had to tell the CYO here in Rochester not to schedule games on Sunday morning. That's ridiculous. But let me put it this way, too. Where there's a will, there's a way. There were several families at one of the parishes I was at. One was on a local hockey team. One was on a traveling hockey team. Those parents made sure that whatever happened, that those kids would go to church on the weekend somewhere, somehow. So, you know, we can blame the sport. The culture's not going to support us. And I don't mean to give up on that. I'm glad the Supreme Court supported the prayer before a council meeting. But, you know, we can't depend on laws or the government or the culture. We have got to be committed. We have got to say, and we may have to say to children, well, we can't do that because that would interfere with our faith life. So we have to make decisions. And these aren't hard decisions, really, because what we want is glory. What we want is joy that we don't possibly understand or get in this life. Now, we get hints here and there, but that's the real focus of our lives. And not to think we're not good people if we're always thinking of heaven. If we really want to get to heaven, that means we're going to do our best here and now every single day to live the gospel joyfully, to share it with others. Because that's what God wants for us. He wants all of us to come together. So sports teams, whatever, they should not get in the way.
Father, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. And would you please close with a prayer?
Sure. Almighty, ever-living God, who restores to eternal life in the resurrection of Christ, increase in us, we pray, the fruits of this Paschal sacrament. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much. Father Rick Poblocki will be here tomorrow. And once again, thank you to Father Mike Mayer from Our Lady of Peace in Geneva, New York. Have a great evening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Station of the Cross. The Station of the Cross is a listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please consider making a donation today. Donations can be made through our website, thestationofthecross.com, or by calling 1-877-888-6279. Thank you for listening to and supporting the Station of the Cross, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.